You're on a GLP-1. Your appetite is changing, your cravings quiet down, and food noise is finally fading. But now you're wondering, how do I manage my side effects? What do I eat to stay strong? How do I break through a plateau? Because reaching your weight loss goals can take more than meds. That's where Weight Watchers Med Plus comes in. The support designed to help you navigate what comes next. With trusted experts who guide you, food plans that work with your body, support to help manage side effects, plus access to GLP-1 medication. Weight Watchers Med Plus is designed to help you lose more weight. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com. All medical services are provided through our affiliated medical group, Weight Watchers Clinic. Medications require eligibility and prescription. Individual results may vary. See site for more details.
When healing dismantles truth, healing has a way of dismantling things you didn't know you were standing on. Beliefs you accepted as truths for so long, they just felt like fact. And when they start to shift, it can feel like the ground is moving underneath you. These are some of the most common ones that get rocked. Your family. Realizing that the parent you thought was the safe one actually wasn't. Coming to terms with the fact that what you thought was love was really power and control. Seeing that the sibling you resented was just trying to survive the same house you were, or that your parents pitted you against each other in ways neither of you could see at the time. Recognizing that the family you thought was close was actually enmeshed. And sometimes, it's not even about the past, it's coming to terms with the ways your family is still toxic, still abusive, still pulling you back into the system today. The story you've had about your life, realizing that what you called a tough childhood was actually trauma, that relationships you stayed in for years were abusive and you couldn't see it while you were in them, that people you trusted weren't safe, that experiences you minimized or laughed off actually shaped you in ways that you're still untangling. Sometimes it's not one big revelation. It is a slow rewrite of 100 moments you told yourself were fine that you now know weren't. Yourself. Realizing that the independence you were so proud of is actually hypervigilance. Your people-pleasing isn't generosity, your perfectionism isn't ambition, and your high tolerance for chaos isn't resilience. Coming to terms with the facts that parts of you, parts of who you thought you were, are actually trauma responses, and figuring out who you are underneath all of that. What you value and how you see the world. Realizing that the things you built your life around, the career, the hustle, the need to prove yourself, we're driven by survival, not desire. That everything happens for a reason was something you told yourself so you didn't have to sit with the fact that some of what happened to you had no reason at all. That your belief that you had to earn your worth was never yours. It was handed to you. What love looks like. Realizing that what you grew up calling love didn't look anything like it. That jealousy wasn't passion, silence wasn't peace, and chaos wasn't chemistry. That you've been choosing partners, friendships, and dynamics that feel familiar because your nervous system confused familiar with safe. And sometimes it's the opposite, realizing that the love you've been dismissing because it felt boring or too easy might actually be the healthiest thing you've ever had. All of this is grief. You're mourning a version of your life, your family, and yourself that you thought was real. And you're allowed to grieve it, even if it was never what you thought it was. You're not crazy for not seeing it sooner. You couldn't afford to. Some of this will make you angry, and that anger is appropriate. You don't have to rewrite your entire story at once. This disorientation is temporary. The clarity isn't. So which of these hits closest to home for you? Is it something that you've started to grieve or you're just beginning to see? Is there a truth you're holding on to right now that you suspect might not be as solid as you once thought? What has been the hardest thing to let go of, the truth itself or the version of your life that came with it? So when I first started healing, it wasn't this earth-shattering moment. It was such a relief. For years, I couldn't figure out what the hell was wrong with me. And so it was so relieving. And it was also exciting. Because I had at the same time this awareness that like I had never really thought about what a fulfilling career would be like for me. And it just felt like I was embarking on this really exciting path. But I feel like I just had this vision in my head of like, in a couple of years, life's going to be really great. You're going to be healed. You're going to be married. Like, you're going to, all these things, you know? I had no fucking clue what lay ahead. I had no fucking clue how hard this shit was. I had no idea how much healing I had to do. I was clueless. For anybody who's like, no, I'm not starting this shit. I'm not starting. Sometimes I like feel like, should I not say that? I don't really feel like there was grieving the person that I thought I was. Like, I don't really think I knew who I was anyways. But what has been the most difficult for me to come to terms with has been really realizing how deep these wounds are and realizing how much damage has been done to me, like over the last 10 years because of my relationship with my parents. That's been really difficult to swallow because it's like, I'm sober, I'm healing. You know, I know that they're sick. I know all the things, but it really, you know, it really did a number on me. And also too, just that it's more so coming to terms with my family, and it's not coming to terms necessarily with my childhood family. It's coming to terms with my parents now, and just never in a million years thinking that they would, you know, choose. And it's like, I understand like this is a disease and that's really hard to heal, but like really, really believing in my heart that my mom like loved me so much that like eventually she would get sober, you know, like it's really rocked my world to see the status of our relationship today. And I know it's not about love, but essentially just, you know, feeling like you don't have a family. And so that has been like, you know, like a difficult pill to swallow. As well as my phone addiction, like that has been quite difficult to come to terms with and grasp, and to think about how many years and time that I've wasted in an addiction that I didn't really know was an addiction because it didn't look the same way as my other addictions. But I have a really strong foundation in myself and who I am. There's still things to work on, but I really like myself. I love myself, and I really respect myself. I know I'm a good person, and like I wholeheartedly mean that. I think I'm a good person, and I think I'm doing good work. It's like I had to build this community because I needed it, and maybe that's why stuff has come up since I've started the podcast, because I needed y'all's support to go through, to get through what I've, you know, what I've been through over the past several years. So, I yield.
So, wow, this reading was really brought up a lot of emotion for me. As I was sitting here, what made me think about is all of the time I've wasted trying to repair my relationship with my mother. And it makes me feel really sad that I didn't start this process years ago, because I spent so many years trying to repair that relationship and do the right thing and have please my mother, that I didn't work on myself. And even though I was doing therapy and I recognized I didn't come from a perfect childhood, I came from chaos, but I so relate to, like, I didn't realize everything I did was a trauma response. And I got myself into an unhealthy marriage and tried to basically married. My therapist said you basically married a male version of your mother, which I did, and then tried to spent 15 years trying to again fix it. So I spent 15 more years, but then I got out of that, and then I actually thought I was like healed, or you know, I had evolved. And then what I realized is just, and this group has been really a huge catalyst, that I have not yet come to terms with how much damage was I still can't remember things. So I relate a lot to what you said, Andrea. Like, you had no idea what was in store. I thought I was doing great. The career, you know. And I feel like I thought I was like almost to the top of the mountain. I thought I was like, you know, making my way. And I really realize now, like, I'm like still at base camp. Kind of knocks the wind out of me. So really great, great, really great reading. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway.
It was a good one.
Hello, happy to be here on a Thursday. I guess in reading this reading, trying to like put to words the things that I'm feeling around it, I guess it is kind of timely because I think the reading in a way, I think skews towards like a, it feels almost like, oh, this is all terrible and this is bad and it's tough and all that. And I think all that's very true. A lot of the work that we do is very sobering in the way that we see our lives, see the people in our lives, see the things that we've been through. And all that's very tough. And I think that just through my years and years and years of like contending with the reality of the life that I grew up in and like how terrible it is to have a parent, who's just awful. And then one that allows them to continue to do that. Once getting past all of that and having processed so many of those emotions and like, one, acknowledging that, like, I don't have to actively forgive these people for the things that they've done, that I can just move past it and, like, live the life that I need to live. But also taking the time to go back and reprocess your experiences now through that lens of, like, oh, everything in my life was colored a little bit more by fear, by someone else's anger, by, you know, the perceptions that were trying to be controlled. And like, I was working through some stuff earlier today around just some of my experiences around like perfectionism and the expectations I have of myself. And I was working through a memory. I have a very strong memory of my dad getting mad at me at the dinner table at my grandparents when I was like 3, just like getting screamed at. And so many of my memories around his family are that of just feeling really isolated and not like I wasn't someone that they wanted to be there. And as I've like worked back through some of that stuff, I realized that I guess through my own experiences of life of like not wanting to step into somebody else's life and like shut something down or intervene in some way, that like my grandparents on that side, as I got older, really, they did try to make an investment in me and see me for who I am and all that. But because of how much damage my dad had done, it felt like that relationship had doomed itself. That there wasn't, I didn't have the capacity to like see them clearly without him warping the lens of how I viewed them. And similarly, my mom, the way she would speak up about them and, you know, all of it gets tainted. And so I don't know, working back through that today, I gave them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt and realized that they probably couldn't see me clearly either. And they did try and express love to me in ways that I find really valuable now, like thinking back on it. Like, they've been gone down probably over a decade at this point. And I am sad that I can't, like, have those conversations with them. I don't think it would be very fruitful. So I'm almost a little bit lucky because they would still be in the muck of everything. But, like, just seeing clearly the ways they treated me and giving them that benefit of the doubt and being able to acknowledge and recognize love, not only in that way that the reading talks about, like, what we thought was love being negative, but also those things that we saw as negative or maybe not, weren't clearly something that we could take away as love, were actually their ways of expressing love, whether that be like the way they would cook for me whenever I would come over, or just the way they would engage with me. It was safe for both of us in the environment that we're in because we had one very toxic person in it. And I think that's kind of the power of the healing work that I've experienced, at least, is gaining some level of self-esteem as it comes to how I view myself. And being able to extract some of these, like, less than ideal circumstances out of the experiences that we go through, and maybe, like, taking some of the charged emotions out of it and seeing the world through a more, is it objective or subject? I can never remember which one it is. But, like, taking a step back and seeing things for what they are, and knowing that things did not play out the way that I needed them to as a kid, knowing that things were messier than they ever needed to be and that they were bad. But in the same way, giving the benefit of the doubt to some of the people there, they were acting in good faith. It makes it to where I can see more of the love in my life than I have before. Like, it's easy to feel like you live in this void of everyone's terrible, nobody cared, all this kind of stuff. But it has been a gift to be able to, like, go back, reconsider some of these things, catch on to some of what was going on that I could not comprehend. And even now, I think I have moments where I realize, like, oh, everybody was just doing their best. That's part of, I guess, the gift of healing is recontextualizing your life, being able to take something new away from it, finding, I think if we're lucky, we find the ability to move past a lot of the hurt that sometimes we get stuck in or is so monumental we never think we're going to get past it. And seeing, at least finding some like silver linings, or I don't even think it's silver lining. It's just finding, like, little nuggets of good in life that maybe we can take forward from today, even if we couldn't do it before. I don't know if that made any GD sense, goddamn sense. Excuse me, I'm still processing out that part of my life. But it's very much like, I'm grateful for all this work. It's been very difficult. It is very difficult to be someone who has been through so much, but I'm grateful as well because it has allowed me to see the good in life. And oftentimes that looks like, I mean, take for instance, we're all here, we've all been through so much, and we all find so much love in this place, even though we're all walking around with bags and bags and bags of baggage of just awful stuff that has happened to us. And it's, there can be beauty, there can be good things that come out of what happens to us. That's awful in the moment. And I guess that's what I'm grateful for, is having worked to a point where I can see a good bit of that. And I'm looking forward to seeing even more of it as I continue forward. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Sam. Yeah. If weight management is one of your New Year goals, Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier can help. This science-backed formula supports metabolic balance, curbs cravings, and promotes healthy blood sugar levels, making it easier to stay consistent and in control. It helps give your body the boost it needs to keep you on track. Feel confident and energized this year with Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You're on a GLP-1. Your appetite is changing, your cravings quiet down, and food noise is finally fading. But now you're wondering, how do I manage my side effects? What do I eat to stay strong? How do I break through a plateau? Because reaching your weight loss goals can take more than meds. That's where Weight Watchers Med Plus comes in. The support designed to help you navigate what comes next. With trusted experts who guide you, food plans that work with your body, support to help manage side effects, plus access to GLP-1 medication. Weight Watchers Med Plus is designed to help you lose more weight. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com. All medical services are provided through our affiliated medical group, Weight Watchers Clinic. Medications require eligibility and prescription. Individual results may vary. See site for more details.
This episode sponsored by Garden. She takes care of everyone else. This Mother's Day, give her something that takes care of her. Garden is the smart indoor growing system that brings the farmer's market right to her kitchen. It's fully automated, meaning it handles the lighting and watering itself. No soil, no heavy lifting, and no mess. Just vibrant greens, fresh herbs, and beautiful flowers at her fingertips, 365 days a year. It's more than a gift. It's a daily dose of me time. Give her the gift that keeps on growing at mygarden.com. That's mygarden.com. Garden. Harvest happiness.
Nice to have you here. Go ahead, Courtney.
Thank you for everyone that shared. I loved hearing all of it. This reading is beyond relatable. I've been no contact with my mom for, you know, we must be hitting almost a year. And the holidays were rough. And like day to day, I'm pretty good. But now the last couple weeks, all I can think about is Mother's Day. And like, this is the first one that like I'm not going to acknowledge to her. And it feels so wrong, like I'm being such a bad person to do that. But like, I know deep down throughout, you know, this past year and a half of being sober, nobody's reaching out to me. She's not talking to me. So like, yeah, it's not all on me, but it feels so much like it all depends on me and what I do on that day. And the thing that's hard to let go is like I've always held on to, as nasty as she could be and all the things that they put me through, like they loved me, but it's like all this not having any contact and nothing, no attempt at all on her part is just continually showing me that like she doesn't care and she's not capable of being who I want her to be. But God, it I don't know how many I can't it's just never gonna be any easier to have to deal with that. And it felt good to say that and get that off my chest, because it's been feeling pretty dark lately for me. So I'm glad to be here listening to everybody.
Hello, everyone. After that reading, I was just kind of sitting here and I could feel my body start shrinking down, just really slow and subtly. And it was just like fear entering my body, and then started making the connection with that same feeling that I had hundreds and hundreds of times as a child when something was obviously about to go off. And I wrote something down that I thought was important, but I didn't realize that that's what was actually causing it. And there was something in the reading that said, you're mourning a life that you actually thought was real. And two things come to mind. When my relationship ended, within the first week, I remember living each day going like, feeling like it wasn't, nothing was real. It was like, what the fuck just happened? Like, I don't know what's had this imaginary future plan that's just gone, the blink of an eye. And it was probably about a week later that I went over to stop by my mom's, because of course she lured us over there by buying my daughter something. And we get over there and I'm just like, do I even bring this up? Do I even tell her? I'm probably not gonna be able to handle the reaction, but I didn't want to sit there outside my truth. So I just said, you know, Heather and I broke up, so she's not gonna be coming around anymore. And her response was to reach over, grab her tablet, mumble something about how she remembered that I said that we were taking space. And within like 10 seconds, she was laughing at videos on her tablet. And then yesterday I was talking to my therapist and something came up that made me realize that, like as a child, like I learned association to learn hypervigilance. Like I would dissociate to become hypervigilant, get out of my own body so I could jump into yours and be able to feel what you were feeling. So I knew how to, be prepared for whatever the hell was going to happen. But again, back to that statement, you're mourning a life that you thought was real is one, just that shit was just passed on by shitty parents that weren't living in a reality. Their reality was to keep themselves from seeing how shitty of people that they actually were. And that is what I feel like I have lived with for my entire life. What do I need to do to keep everybody from realizing how shitty of a person that I am? And occasionally I would trick somebody into thinking that I wasn't a shitty person. And then I would attach to them so hard and do everything I could in my power to keep that person happy and lose myself every single time. So I'm sitting here right now realizing that I am living a life that has not been real at all. Because without somebody to seek approval from, I don't know what to do. And I'm exhausted from living that way. It's time to stop living that way. And I don't really know where I'm going, but it just, I feel like I've got this newfound freedom. The best way I could explain is I feel like I'm losing my fucking mind, but I've been living in my mind in this false reality for so long. It's the happiest like thought that I can have is just that I am losing my fucking mind. So thank you for giving me all the support that you've given me this week, and very happy that was at this meeting. Thanks.
These are really good, really vulnerable, make me want to like break down and cry for all of you, because I'm sucking in your shit and I'm sorry. And I know I'm not supposed to do that. Boomer, my dog is now barking at my neighbor, somebody. So anyway, I think as a person who's been doing this shit for a long time, I feel like there's some sort of subtle change that happens inside of you. Like you notice, that all these things happen to you, and then you realize that for me, I portrayed that it wasn't happening at my home. So maybe I just became the people pleaser or the person that I thought other people wanted me to be, and manipulated myself and my whole being to be what I thought somebody else needed. And then what happens? We lose ourselves. So I look at doing this healing process as like coming back to myself and realizing like things that I loved and I pushed away from me, I need to like let those things come back to me. And also, I'm a person who believes that if I go do the next best right thing, and for everybody, it's different. Like what your next best thing is different than mine. And the next right step is different than mine. So maybe I take that step and it works good. And the only way I know it works is if I pay attention to what happens next. And I'll give you a little story. It's kind of quick, but there's this artist that Nancy loves named Billy Strings. There's a fan page. There is a fan page for Billy Strings fans who hate Billy Strings fans. And so, yes, someone wrote something about politics, and I just wrote, keep your politics out of my music. And that loaded this guy for some reason. And he gave me shit on an open forum, no anonymous names. And I just wrote back, hashtag hug a Navy mom. And he wrote, I hope your son doesn't get killed in Doopy Donald's Naval Army. And I fucking almost lost my shit. But because I'm not a child anymore, and obviously he is, I just wrote, thank God you don't have any children, and I hope you never do. And I know you'll roast me because I blocked you, but bye-bye. And I put my little donkey and my little hat emojis that I always do, and I said goodbye. The next day, my karma came back so good. I got invited to purchase tickets to a show at the Paramount Theater in Denver with only 1,800 people in attendance, and I got 11th row center. So you know what, dude? Fuck you. I win. So that's how I'm looking at it. When I do bad shit or I need to forgive myself for this shit, I gotta take the step, do what I think is right, and then see what happens. And if it's not right, well, then maybe I wouldn't have got those tickets. I love y'all. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Nancy. Go ahead, Mitchell.
I don't know how I can beat Billy Strings tickets there, but...
I saw he was in the hospital, Nancy. He got a skateboard accident. I thought about you.
He broke his ankle real bad. Real bad.
I thought you were about to tell a story about that.
Yeah. There's a portion of all of us that, yeah, we've lost our fucking mind. But all the best people have, dude. Don't worry about it, Steve. I'm there with you, man. You know, especially the way that I deal with like relationships and how I connect to people. And in the past, it's been a lot more difficult, you know, in how I have, you know, how I tried to save my ex and those things in the way that I've behaved. And so one of the things that I just realized, and this is a good thing, this last week has been very difficult because I do care a lot. And you know, the person that I've been involved with is struggling financially with the way that their situation is. And I'm not very much far off better. But one of the things that I do know is like I do enough to support my kids. But then like I also see, you know, where she's struggling and she has a young daughter. And so through the course of her move and seeing who she is, and she is definitely an adult child, no matter how she wants to placate, she's healed and had trauma. Her childhood experiences and the things that she's gone through, and that's what I was saying in like some of my last shares, is that I'm coming to realize those are the people that seem to attract to me. And what I get to do now is I get to realize the people and places and things where I put my effort into and my people pleasing into, and those things misaligned for people who were not worthy of those, you know, and how I do it for somebody who I feel is. And, you know, that's one of the things that's great in how our communication is, where she's feeling really guilty, she's pushing away. I realized, I was like, I have spent almost every day over the last 5 months with this person. You know, I have got to learn this person intimately. I know exactly what's going on in their lives. And for her, where she is in her culture, the way that things are, she's feeling very ashamed and she's pushing everyone away. I get to communicate healthily now that I, you know, if allowed, if where I want, where I see how I do things, I do them from my heart. I don't do them from self-sacrifice. I don't feel an obligation to have to do something. There's a desire and a want to help. Yeah, you know, like Nancy said, like seeing the hurt and feeling it when everyone shares and in everyone's experience. And that's something that I do see very clearly. And in the past, it would have just absolutely eaten me up about like, why is this person wanting to talk to me? Why are they pushing me away? You know, like all I'm trying to do is help. And it's a very healthy dynamic in which then I get to actually communicate. It's like, hey, I don't feel an obligation. I feel a want to be a part of, you know, and what I see in the person in front of me, I can see good qualities. I'm not seeing the trauma. I'm not trying to bond in that way where it's like, oh, I'm sucked into your problems and I have to fix your problems, you know? And that's one of the things that I've been able to declare is like, this is a temporary situation. I don't anticipate you not getting a job and we're not trauma bonding. And, you know, I'm not going to fucking just pay your bills for months on end. At some point or another, you have to get your head out of your ass, or you know, I have to get mine out of mine, you know, and say, okay, you're not doing something, therefore I can't help, and I step away because now I'm enabling, you know, and vice versa, and how we do that. And I owe a lot of that to the things that I'm able to do here, you know, and communicate, you know, the when I do lose my mind, my maladaptive is running, and I'm learning how to taper that down now. It doesn't happen as often. It's not as long. It's not as fast. And I bounce back from it a lot quicker. And that's something that I have a lot of gratitude here for today. And that is of the love that I'm starting to learn for myself. I have found value. You know, I can relate with what you were saying, Andrea, about, you know, knowing my worth now, knowing what I'm doing. Like, no, I don't really have a big plan or how I'm going to do, but I see who I am now and I understand who I am and I get to move in unison within myself and what makes me happier, and then find those paths forward that then help me heal more. So thank y'all for letting me share that. You know, that's what I wanted to express.
What you holding on to? Just let it all go. What's making you slow now? Just let it all go.